Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, women's basketball fans. Welcome to the latest edition of Replay, the podcast devoted to women's basketball with the focus on distinguishable games and wins from the last 24 to 48 hours. I'm your host, Coach Bill, coming to you from the Big Apple, New York on this Friday, January 6th. And always a pleasure to rewind and look back at women's basketball and some of the distinguishable wins. So, again, Happy New Year to everybody. Haven't been on in a few days since the new year, unfortunately, but Happy New Year. Hopefully everyone is safe and doing well and getting off to a good start in 2017. But, again, we're going to look to talk about the last 24 hours specifically across the landscape of women's basketball and go over a little recap of some of the distinguishable games and wins across Division I basketball. But we're going to be happy to be joined by the head coach of the Bucknell Lady Bison, and that will be Aaron Roussel. And Aaron and his girls are coming off an overtime win against American yesterday, a matinee game, an education day for them out there at Bucknell. But a big win for Aaron and the girls. They go to 11-3 and now 3-0 in the Patriot League, and they had to really grind and come back in that game. American had a terrific performance led by Emily Kinniston, who got 20-plus points. But they get the job done specifically in the fourth quarter and then in overtime to pull out the win. And just a very impressive team, an impressive comeback win. It was really a terrific game overall. Good environment with it being education day and a ton of kids in the stands. And so we're going to look forward to bringing Coach Roussel in here to talk about that game and talk about his team a little bit. He's in his fifth year at Bucknell. And, just because you win games as a college coach doesn't exactly make you a quality coach, but you get a chance to watch Coach Roussel and that Bucknell team and you come away impressed, especially I do as a former coach, with how they play together, how they move the ball, the overall discipline and structure of the team, and honestly just the pieces they have. Just a very intriguing team, the one that you certainly want to follow for the rest of the year, and they have a great chance to potentially win the Patriot this year. They were the preseason pick, but they have a couple of terrific post players, some perimeter players, a kind of a versatile do-it-all type, and Claire DeBoer, who is the preseason Patriot Player of the Year. So just a fun team to watch, not only with the individual pieces, but also collectively how they play. And so with no further delay, let's look to bring in Coach Roussel from Bucknell. Aaron, are you there?
I am here. I got to hire you as my agent, man. That was impressive. You made us sound probably even better than maybe we even are.
No. I got plenty more to say, too, if I'm going to act as your agent, because, again, it's a very impressive product that you put on the floor with your girls, not only, for this season, but certainly over, your first 4 years as you've built the program up and have enhanced the win record each year from, I think, 15, 16, 18, that kind of thing. And then 25 last year certainly was a watershed mark for you and the program. But You also had a distinguishable track record at the University of Chicago, the Division III program there. And, Coach, I got to tell you, the thing that's most impressive about your tenure at Chicago was that you were also a professor.
Yeah. Once you find out the classes that I was teaching, maybe you'll be less impressed. So let's just call her. We'll leave it at that. Yes, I was a professor at the University of Chicago, and that maybe sounds a little bit more prestigious than it was. But really enjoyed my time there, and liked the fact that I did get to dabble a little bit on the academic side of it. It was a fantastic experience, and very grateful for it there.
Well, one thing's for sure, when we throw out the word prestigious, Chicago deserves that moniker, because it's a terrific and esteemed academic school. So certainly teaching any class there is impressive. And again, it actually kind of makes you what I would consider kind of that old school coach who goes back to, you know, teaching and coaching as well. So again, congratulations on your success there. And now certainly the success that you've accredited at Bucknell, you know, and now entering your fifth year. And, certainly we'll touch upon yesterday's game. That's what we do here at Replay. We kind of rewind it back and get your thoughts. But, want to get your thoughts, just on a couple of general thoughts regarding, the team and the program. You're now in your fifth year. Is everything pretty much now settled into where you want the program at, obviously, in your fifth year, not only in terms of recruiting, but, just the overall product and the culture?
Yeah, I think so. I think the last word there, especially the culture. I think we've got a really great group of seniors right now, three of them, that all committed here before we had ever coached a game here at Bucknell. And when we got the job here, we were coming off a 5-25 season the year before. And I give these three a lot of credit. Sometimes give them a hard time of committing to a program that only had five wins. And but they have. And this is even some players that have come before them as well. But just the culture around here, and obviously, taking yesterday's game, for example, obviously it was a great win for us. And before I could get out of the gym, talking to fans and doing our media responsibilities, it was 11 a.m. start. And right after the game, I think we had 5-6 kids that were in the gym working on things. And, I don't think they're dumb about it. I don't think, I think some of those kids need some rest, but some of those kids weren't happy with how they played, and they were in the gym working on it. And, you talked about Chicago being an academic school. It's the same thing here at Bucknell. So these kids have a lot of other things going on. They're not in the gym 8 hours a day by any stretch, but basketball means something to them, and winning does as well. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that's happened for us is just that culture change of kind of, basketball doesn't have to be the number one priority 365 days a day, but days a year, but it has to be a priority. And I think that's what's really, I've noticed that change here in the last 4 or 5 years.
I've seen even on your Twitter account there at Bucknell with the women's basketball program, you have a pinned tweet, and it talks kind of about the Bison way. And so if you can, and besides maybe just, even some general thoughts, maybe a little in-depth, what exactly would describe the Bison way, especially in terms of, the product and the style of play? Certainly it touches upon, the culture and the work ethic and those intangibles. But can you give us a little bit of an insight into the Bison way as it, as it stands for you?
Sure. Yeah. And I think we preach balance here. So obviously, like we talked about, this is a high academic institution, and, I think that helps us with recruiting. I think there's always going to be kids that we can't recruit because maybe academics or, their academics and test scores maybe aren't at a certain point, but I think we maybe can get into a different pool that otherwise maybe wouldn't be interested in a mid-major. Maybe they have some higher looks, but maybe those higher looks aren't the academic fit that they want. So I think we've really tried to change that here. I think that was something what we did at Chicago too, that, hey, we're a Division III school, but we needed to find some high level kids, and maybe some of the players that we got had some Division I interest, some Division I offers, but it may not have been at the academic prestige that they would have wanted. So I think we tried to get into that. But as far as the Bison way, so to speak, I think some of that goes back to the culture, and like you talked about, a willingness to work hard. This has to mean something. But I think I learned a valuable lesson, coaching at Division III, that those kids weren't tied to a scholarship. They weren't tied to anything that they had to play. And if it wasn't fun, there was no reason for them to be out there. And I think that's really has kind of carried over to our level here. It's not always that every practice is supposed to be fun or every drill is supposed to be fun. But if these kids aren't having an enjoyable experience, they're not going to put as much time into it. And sometimes that isn't us creating the fun. Sometimes that's just creating an atmosphere that our 13, 14 kids want to enjoy themselves, want to be around each other. And, you know, sometimes this can be a positive. Sometimes it can be a negative. But I think if you talk to people around this campus, you're going to see that the women's basketball team tends to travel in a pack, you know, and hang out with each other. You know, sometimes I give them a hard time that we gotta get some more fans in here. So you guys got to go make some more friends. But I think they really do enjoy themselves. I think they enjoy the experience. Winning helps with that, no doubt. But I think just the way that these guys get along is such a founding point of everything else that we do here. And, you know, you had mentioned style of play, and I think that that's something that that may be more of a – there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, but I think we realize we're a mid-major program and we're not always going to get the physical size and physical speed that a lot of other people get. But, you know, I think I spent a lot of time, even when I was at Chicago, of looking at the mid-majors and why those guys had success. And, you know, not that we're trying to copy any in particular program, but I think when you can put five skilled players on the basketball court, you know, you mentioned the way that we move the ball and the way that we play, and sometimes that's not always as clean as what we want it, but we want five kids out there that can score the basketball and five kids out there that can kind of be a five-tool player, to kind of use a baseball term. And I think we've maybe gotten ourselves to that point here recruiting. You know, we've also had been dealt some injuries and a key freshman right now that kind of would maybe give us a different dynamic is out for the year. But I think with all these kids, they're all skilled players. They're not, hey, this is your role, this is your position. All of our kids need to be able to play all five spots on the floor, and that's something that our offense is predicated on, and then we got to make sure that we can find people for them to guard on the defensive end.
And we'll certainly, you know, be talking about some of those individual players that help you have skilled players all over the floor. But I have to tell you, Coach, you know, and I was a mid-major assistant specifically before my cancer journey, so I can relate to that position. But I also you know, obviously, when I scrutinize products and style of play and execution, hopefully I have a little bit of an eye for knowing what I'm talking about. But, you know, I said it at the top of the broadcast that, you know, winning games doesn't always mark, you know, a quality coach. But I do see a lot of quality in your product. And it kind of reminded me when I was watching the game a little bit, hearkening back to I grew up on Dean Smith, the legendary men's coach at North Carolina. And, you know, seeing how much their offense was predicated on reversing the ball. And I know even Bill Self at Kansas now and all the success he's had on the men's side with Kansas, he talks all the time about this, you know, the staple of this program and his execution is reversing the ball. And I just sometimes when and I watch a ton of games, you know, and what I do now and following the landscape of women's basketball, and there's not enough of that and ball movement and spacing and just kind of structure. There's so much dribble happy offenses and that kind of thing. But when I watch you guys, it's a pleasure to watch the style of play and the execution, not only for a fan standpoint, because you do have a volume of versatile kids and you space the floor well and you know, you include three-point shooting, which certainly appeases the fans. But from a coach's standpoint, there's a good deal of structure. There is ball reversal. There is spacing. And, you know, and again, shot selection seems to be at a premium, which is becoming more and more rare these days, unfortunately, in women's basketball. So, again, I want to give you a lot of kudos because you guys are not just winning games and having success at Bucknell. You look well coached. Your teams play the right way. They play unselfish, they play together, and they play with organization. And, you know, again, so for me, it's a real pleasure to watch Bucknell. And, again, you guys are far more than just winning games. You're really a quality product.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I'm just coming out of an hour-long staff meeting where we just sat there and said we didn't do all those things enough here lately. We're not reversing the ball enough. We're not, you know, shot selection I think has been pretty good, and I think that's the product of having some good players and still young, but some more seasoned players out there. But, you know, I think that's a constant struggle as a coach. You know, nobody's ever happy. Gino's about to win, 90 in a row, something like that, and, you know, he's still finding fault. And, you know, I think that is something our offense is predicated on. I think you hit it on the head there, Bill, that, you know, we need ball movement. We need player movement, we need ball reversal, and, you know, spacing is I hate to say structure, because I think we try to be able to make good decisions and react off of things, but I think we like to have our kids in properly spaced areas, and goes back to what we talked about earlier. If you've got five skilled kids on the floor, it allows them space to put the ball up and put the ball on the floor, and like you said, you don't want to be too dribble happy, but you got to take your take your opportunities when you can.
Well, the thing I love about it too, and again, I was, you know, a huge player development guy, and especially, you know, sometimes you get more of a label than you want, but a post coach, and I love the efficiency you guys have in terms of your interior touches and utilizing your post play, but again, it's also efficient with the perimeter opportunities as well, and again, it's just been a very impressive product, and again, I do admit I've only watched a couple of games full. I've seen highlights of some others, but both full games I've watched so far have been impressive just in terms of the efficiency and the overall team play, and again, just the organization of it all. So, again, you know, I've had the – doing this podcast specifically, I've had the pleasure of having the, you know, distinguishable coaches in women's basketball like Gary Blair and my guy Doug Bruno on, and you're certainly familiar with Coach Bruno with your time in Chicago. And it's such an honor to obviously have those coaches, but it's a real pleasure to have to support the mid-major programs as well, and specifically, to me, emerging coaches like yourself. And so it's a real pleasure to have you on, Aaron, because, again, I really do – I know sometimes the fans think I'm kissing coaches' butts on this show, but I try and be honest. But at times, you know, you just have to be honest in your praise for coaches. And I'm really excited to watch Bucknell moving forward and to watch your career, because I see some of the same things that those coaches have with it. Again, they're great mentors to kids first and foremost, and also they provide, you know, a quality product as well.
Well, I appreciate that, and, you know, very, very, very kind. You know, I think something else you touched on too is the player development, and I think that's a big aspect. You understand this being a mid-major coach, you know, like you're not always no slight to any of our kids, but you know, you can't just take the kids that you have, and they can't be the same kids in their fourth year there as their first, and that's something that we talk about. That hey, you know, this kid maybe doesn't quite have this, but I'll bet by her junior year she can do this and do that, and you know, I have to give a huge shout out to our three assistant coaches, because they've been tremendous with that. You know, a couple of them right now are down in the gym working individually with some of our players that you know, one of them's our best player, and she's down there not happy with things. But yeah, I think especially with our post, I think we do recruit a certain kind of post player that we want to be able to have some skills away from the basket now. But some of those things are developed, and you know, I have to give that credit to our assistant coaches, because they have done a tremendous job. But you know, one of the post players that you're talking about now is in her fourth year, and if you would have saw her as a freshman, you know, that kid just started playing basketball a couple of years before she got here, and she couldn't dribble the basketball or shoot the ball from beyond the arc. And now she's a threat from at the basket. She's a threat away from the basket, and one of the better post players and one of the better players overall in our league.
Fans, if you just jumped into the broadcast, as you probably know, we're being joined by Aaron Roussel, the head coach at Bucknell, and looking to specifically talk about his win yesterday against American, an overtime win at home. Very thrilling game. I got to watch the whole thing. But, Coach, you just kind of alluded to a couple of those players, and now we're going to dive into those players specifically and yesterday's game. But you were just specifically alluding to Sune Swart, your 6'3 senior post player. And I got to tell you, Aaron, I had a chance, you know, following your team, again, not as closely as I would like to this point or until yesterday, but, you know, Caitlin Slagis had certainly caught my eye with some of the numbers she had been putting up through November and December, double-double numbers, and her overall versatility. I believe she almost had a triple-double, you know, in the one game that I promoted. And, you know, just a very impressive start to her sophomore campaign and, you know, emerging as one of the, you know, really terrific post players across mid-major basketball. But I wasn't as familiar with Sune Swart, but watching her yesterday at 6'3", with her footwork, her counters, her agility, certainly she needs to finish a couple more of those opportunities. I'm sure you would agree that
yeah.
We're a little frustrated. As a former post coach, we're frustrating, and I can relate back to a couple of kids I had that had a little penchant for that. But, again, very, very impressive duo you have inside there, because Slagis certainly I was aware of, but Sune Swart, and as you know, just referenced, you know, it was very green to the game before she got to college, you know, relative to most kids, but a very, very impressive kid at this stage of her career. Again, with her footwork, with her moves, her agility, and just her overall offensive game at this point.
Yeah, she's been tremendous, and you know, I think it's been fun because obviously when we recruited her as part of that first recruiting class, you know, not many people knew about her, and even some old assistants that have moved on to other places, you know, and they haven't seen her play for a couple of years, and you know, she has these big games, and I'm getting text messages from these guys that, you know, just how proud they are of what she's developed into, but you know, at the risk of being a slight to Sunay, just amazed at what she's turned into because that she didn't have those qualities, she didn't have those skills 3 years ago, and to be honest with you, even 2 years ago, and that's something she's just really, really she's changed her body, you know. And again, I love the kid, so I can say this now. You know, she couldn't get up and down the floor once or twice, you know, and she was all right, maybe in a half court, but you wouldn't even notice, you wouldn't even recognize her physically to compared to what she is right now. And you know, like we talked about that's part of mid-major basketball. You got to develop some talent. You know, you're not always going to get the top of the pick of the litter, especially at that post spot. You know, those things get picked over pretty quick. You know, at those higher levels. You know, but she's developed. You know, she had some unfortunate things happen with her family, and I think that kind of got her a little more serious about basketball. And you know, she's probably better than any player I've ever seen. You know, definitely any player I've ever coached of what she's become compared to what she was during her freshman year. And you know, you mentioned the two post players we have, but you know, oh by the way, Claire DeBoer is preseason player of the year, and she did that. And on those first 3 years, she technically was a post player. You know, now she was a post player that could do some things away from the basket, but you know, I think some people look at her as, hey, maybe she's made a position switch and playing the three. You know, we really don't use numbers a whole lot. We just want to put players out there that can play. And you know, if we're doing this right, we kind of try to treat this as positionless basketball. You know, she's now playing with two other post players out there, and because of the skill set that Claire DeBoer has developed over her years, she can do that. And now we can sit out there and quote play three post players together. And you know, you'd mentioned Slagis too. Like she's about as tough as they come as far as being able to score inside and outside. You know, she might be one of the better three-point shooters in our league, definitely on our team.
Yeah.
But just the soft touch she has around the basket, you know, is a pretty good compliment to what she can do away from the basket.
Yeah, you know, Caitlin Slagis is shooting 40% coming into the game. Struggled a little bit yesterday from the perimeter order shot, especially earlier in the game, but certainly hit, you know, one or two big ones as the game went on. And, you know, you kind of beat me to it with Claire DeBoer, you know, the 6'1 senior out of Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and already a two-time first-team All-Patriot League player and the preseason player of the year. And if you can, and like you said, I mean, you know, I mentioned the two post players because she's now, you know, gotten to the point where she is, you know, more than just a post player and actually just a player, you know, with her skills and what you can do with her out on the basketball floor. But for certainly the fans who aren't familiar with Claire, can you give a little bit of a brief description of her skill set now at this point and how you do utilize her?
Yeah, and I think she's, you know, she's pretty physically gifted, you know, and again, this is something that she's worked on here over the years, but this is, you know, for her, you know, just she's fast, you know, especially when she was playing the post. She's going to be quicker, more athletic than a lot of post players, you know. Now, quote, if she is playing, to use a basketball term, the three, she's going to be a little bit, you know, bigger and stronger than most people she's going against. And, you know, I think a little bit, to be honest with you, as a coach, is I got to do a better job of making sure we are utilizing her better. You know, we are asking her to do a couple different things. And, you know, I wouldn't even say that she's 100% comfortable doing all those things right now. You know, I hate to say that she's made a sacrifice because I think she's seeing some benefit right now. But she's doing some different things than she has her first 3 years. And sometimes that can be hard for any athlete, especially, you know, the great honor of being a preseason player of the year. But I think there sometimes comes some expectations with that. And, you know, she's doing different things than she was to get to that level. But I think for us, you know, she can shoot the basketball. You know, we started the overtime yesterday, drawing two things up to get her some early post-ups. And then, you know, we kind of counter that with a flare screen coming off, and she drills a three coming off a flare screen on a set play. You know, there's not a whole lot of players out there that can do that, you know, especially at this mid-major level, that can have plays run for them to do completely two opposite things. And I think that's part of what got us that victory yesterday, what got us that lead there in overtime. But that's something we probably do need to do a better job of. I need to do a better job of. But that's also something that, you know, she allows us with her skill set to utilize.
God bless you. I love you. You're always talking about what you could do a better job of, even with the success you've had. But, you know, the thing about it, too, being able to, you know, slide her down a little bit and now with, you know, her being able to play a little bit more on the perimeter maybe than early in her career, is you guys literally do now have kind of high major size across the front court, because with her at 6'1", and then, you know, and then the front court of Slagis at 6'2", and Sword at 6'3", I mean, that's some legitimate size you know, from the small forward up. You know, and you might not have 6'5". You know, you might not have the 6'5"
right.
that, you know, some high majors have. But as far as, you know, from the small forward up, that's high major type of, you know, size you have there. So it certainly
I think our thing, all of that stuff was always predicated on they still have to be able to do some things in our offense away from the basket. You know, you mentioned 6'5",
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I've always made the joke that this level you're not going to get that 6'5" kid. And, you know, we did right now. We have a 6'5" freshman right now out of Miami that, you know, unfortunately for us, you know, had some injuries in the preseason. So she's just now kind of getting back into it. And, you know, she is. She's different than the other kids that we have. But, you know, she's got soft touch around the basket, and we're kind of saying, hey, you know, this is something by her junior year. Whether she's shooting from three, I don't know that. But she's going to be able to step away from the basket and knock down shots. And, you know, she probably would be playing a little bit right now if he didn't have as much talent as she's got ahead of her. But that's something hopefully we can develop down the road. And, you know, we still have a 6'2". Unfortunately for us, you mentioned the size that we have, kind of three and six, small forward and above. You know, we felt like we could have been even 6'2" at one of our shooting guard spots. And unfortunately for us, the kid that we're talking about is injured right now and won't be back this year. But Kate Walker, as a 6-foot guard, you know, for us, has really come along. I think she had a tough stretch to start the season in the first four or five games from the arc. But I think she's shooting like 17 to 30 from behind the arc her last, you know, however many, five, six games here. So I do feel like we can go big, but, you know, you saw the two midgets out there we had at the 1 and 2. You know, I think they have some skill set that they can bring, and some of that is benefited to them because of the size that we have, 3 through 5.
Yeah, you know, and just to get the fans caught up, the 6'5 freshman you were referencing is M.K. Moore from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And then, you know, you talked about, you know, Kate Walker and how she struggled early. And I believe the numbers that were mentioned during the broadcast, you know, last 9 games, 17 for 31 from threes. So certainly she has, you know, has gotten hot and feels confident now from behind the arc. And that's the thing I love about this team. You know, you obviously have the preseason Patriot League Player of the Year in DeBoer. And then, you know, we referenced it, and certainly, you know, I brought up the front court of Swart and Slagus, the little FNS crew there, and they are very impressive, especially how they complement each other. Again, as you referenced, you have Slagus with the capacity to go out to three, you know, and shoot 40% from the arc. And then, again, what Suni Swart is doing with the footwork inside certainly, you know, had me on the edge of my seat. But you do have the likes of Kate Walker, who is, like, you know, that's just a terrific complimentary player with the ability to shoot the three. And she also had a couple of real moxie drives that I certainly was impressed with that complement the shooting stroke. And then to me, you know, in a lot of ways, the player of the second half was your, and again, I might pronounce this first name wrong, so please correct me if I do, but Kai English, the 5'5 sophomore guard from East Orange, was just terrific. And I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, the deep three that she hit to end the third quarter, but she had a couple of big jump shots. She had a big drive down the stretch of the game. And I tell you, the play for me that really stood out was with about 14 seconds left in regulation, she had a drive across the left side of the lane and almost a no-look pass to Suni Swart, who missed the first attempt and then got the putback. Well, what a terrific pass. That one, and maybe Suni was just trying to pad her rebounding numbers. You know,
yeah, but we got to talk to her about that, like you said.
But I tell you, it was
great.
English was just tremendous, you know, down the stretch, especially in the second half of that game. And that pass was a big league pass, and just a really impressive guard who showed the ability to make a big shot, but also, you know, some big penetration, and just was really impressed. And I thought she was kind of the young player of that comeback for sure.
Yeah, she was great, and I think that's something that, to be honest with you, and she and I have talked about this, and, you know, long text and conversation we had the night before the game, is just getting her back to that. You know, that's Kai being able just to get out there and play. That's what she did last year for most parts, even as a freshman. You know, Megan McGurk, 3 years or 3 games into it, you know, as our 3-year starting point guard, you know, pops her Achilles, and Kai slid in there and was fantastic as our point guard last year. You know, and you know, she had a career game. She had 20 points against American last year in the Patriot League playoffs. And it was just like, hey, you know, Kai, we got to get you back to this, you know. And fortunately for her, and this is a huge credit, you know, she's coming off a mono, so she hadn't practiced, you know, even going back to like the, you know, right after that North Carolina trip, she was struggling health wise, and Rutgers game just wasn't quite there. And then, you know, oh, by the way, we figure out that she's had mono here for a little bit, so she's just now getting back into it, you know. But I thought that three that she hit at the end of the third quarter, you know, kind of gave her some comfort, and, you know, she got to see the basketball go through the basket. And, you know, she was fantastic. You know, the drive that you're talking about at the end of the game, coming off the ball screen and drawing two defenders and finding Sune at the basket. You know, I joked with her, it only took you about 39 minutes and 50 seconds to believe me that was there and to be able to make that pass, but she did it, you know. And I think that's something that, you know, when we can get her to be a little more comfortable out there, you know, and again, she's also doing something different right now. You know, she's playing with a little bit different personnel than maybe she was last year. So, you know, we can find some better ways to put her in areas of strength for her, but I think it's just getting her to feel a little more comfortable and allow her just to play her game.
And she has the look of the type of guard that moving forward will get even more confident and impactful in the open court as well, and get you maybe
some,
a couple more, you know, easier buckets as well. But again, just the intangibles and the moxie that she showed, and to be able to make a pass like that at a time like that, very, very impressive play. And again, thankfully, Sune cleaned up the second chance opportunity. Otherwise, she might have been hearing about that one for about a couple of months.
She would have.
Yeah.
It makes the other mistakes that she makes during the game. It's easy to gloss those over, too.
Yeah, amen. But, you know, you mentioned Megan McGurk. There's, again, the other complimentary, you know, wing player that just makes this a very intriguing team, because certainly through your first – you know, five or seven players, just a well-put-together team that kind of has everything that you could want from the, obviously, with the emerging play of English, but the point guard play and the wings, and then you do have the front court that certainly is distinguishable, but just a very intriguing team. And, you know, again, 24 for 58, 41%. I know you want to shoot a little bit. Yeah, clearly the first half it was not the kind of offensive performance I think you were looking for, or certainly, you know, of the standard that Bucknell expects, but you did kind of get it together more so in the second half. But you had 12 assists on those 24 makes, which, you know, 50% clip of assists is pretty good. And certainly, it was certainly by today's women's basketball standards, killing me on the assist ratio across women's basketball these days. But you had obviously the 17 turnovers. Certainly for a coach like yourself, I got to think that's the one column that's probably still biting you coming out of the game.
Yeah, and I think that's something, you know, we're not doing a good enough job of forcing those on the other end. So that turnover margin is something that we need to be better at, quite honestly. And, you know, some of this is when you try to play a little more free-flowing offense, it's going to take still a few more games before, you know, you can feel 100% comfortable, and just kind of got careless with some passes a little bit. But, you know, I think that's right now of trying to get our kids to feel comfortable. You know, you try not to put up too many red lights and try to tell them all the things that they can or should or can't or shouldn't do. So you kind of have to live with that to a certain extent. But then the other part of this, too, is, you know, we're talking a lot of great things about the Bucknell Bison today, but I thought American played us smart.
Yeah.
Really, really good coach on the other end, and they knew what we could and couldn't do. And I thought they did. I thought they did a nice job of making us uncomfortable, and it showed. You know, and you mentioned the assist to turnover or assist to field goal ratio. Like, you know, that's probably still a little bit lower than what we want it to be. And when we're really good, that's a really high number. You know, we can get up to those 18, 20 assists in a normal game if we're doing our jobs right. And I think that's just – hopefully those things will come. I think we run an offense right now that always seems to get better as the year goes on, and that's even as it gets scouted a little bit more. But I think as we get to be more comfortable, you know, I mentioned this morning our staff meeting, we talked about all the things that we just weren't doing well in our offense. You know, and those are things that need to be addressed here today in practice and moving forward as well.
Do you have actually just about, you know, about five more minutes, Aaron? Or
absolutely. Yep. And absolutely. No, we got practice here in about 20 minutes, so we got some time.
All right, then I'll hold you to the five. But I just wanted to get on a couple more things and specifically talk about American, because they certainly deserve to be talked about. But I wanted to ask you, you know, just again about your product. Do you guys, and again, I referenced Dean Smith and, you know, how I grew up on him, and they certainly played inside out. Do you have a little bit of a primary emphasis, especially with your terrific front court, to try and play inside out, to try and go inside first before you, and is there any kind of, you know, philosophy or premise with the girls in terms of that?
You know, I think that's something that we want on the front of their minds. To be honest with you, I think as a coach, the more you talk about that, at least with our group, you know, I only know our group. I think the more we talk about that, the more we get a little bit stagnant and try to force things when maybe they aren't there. You know, we have a really, really good group. They listen really well. Unfortunately, sometimes they listen too well, you know, and hey, coach, I did that because that's what you told me to do. And hey, you know, well, next time let's focus a little bit more on what the defense is giving you and what's open. This pass might have been open last game, but it's not because now they're adjusting and doing this. So we try to kind of just let them play. You know, I don't mean that's just rolling the ball out there, but, you know, they have certain reads that they're supposed to take a look at. And I think it goes back to what we talked about. If we have five offensive threats out there, you know, it's a little bit, you know, to kind of reference your mentor, Dean Smith. You know, he had Jordan sitting there for you know, 2 or 3 years. And it wasn't a whole lot of running things for a particular person. It's, hey, we're going to run our offense, and the product of us doing that is going to – you know, most of the time the best players are going to get the most shots, but, you know, somebody's going to get a shot in one of their comfort zones. And I think American, to be honest with you, does that really well offensively as well. And we do it a different way, but I think that's the real mantra of our offense. It's not so much we have to do this and then you got to do this. It's, hey, let's run our offense. Yeah, we want to look inside. If it's not there, let's figure out why. And let's maybe put the ball in that hand.
Well, I just think it speaks to a coach and players who understand winning. And as Coach Smith and even Roy Williams, you know, who's come under him, understand, you know, you try and get as many high percentage shots as you can. And obviously opportunities in the lane also lead to fouls and stuff. But it just seems like your kids do a more consistent job maybe than some others of looking inside consistently. So I certainly had to ask you that. But before I let you go, we definitely have to shine a light on American and what you guys had to deal with specifically yesterday. And it certainly seems like junior guard Emily Kinniston likes Stoico Pavilion, huh? Because, wow, that was, you know, I didn't really know anything about Emily Kinniston coming into the game. And I know she averages 11.6 coming into the game, but, you know, 26 points on 12 of 20, and as you talked about, you know, so well after the game, and not only in the post interview on the court, but in the press conference also, the kid's mid-range game was truly on point yesterday, and she was killing you guys from mid-range. And I remember earlier in the game when she hit a little bit of a step back, I was like, uh-oh, this could be a little bit of a trouble, because she's feeling that shot. But just a tremendous performance from Emily Kinniston. Again, 12 of 20. Normally I see 20 shots from a kid, and I roll my eyes a little bit, but she deserved all 20 because
that was an efficient. It was an efficient 20 shots, and yeah, no, she, I think she liked the gym. I think she liked the gym when she was, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say quickly, she mixed in a couple of terrific drives too as well, and she really was a load to deal with yesterday for sure.
She was, and, you know, I kind of joked afterward, and kind of using what you just said, she did like this gym. I think she liked this gym a lot when she was here in a recruiting visit, too. We just weren't good enough or smart enough to keep her here, you know, when we were recruiting her. But, yeah, I think she's somebody that, you know, maybe a little bit what we're missing, kind of, you know, I thought Megan McGurk did a nice job on her to start, and especially when you watch this morning, it's like I rewatching the tape, and I'm like, well, I don't know how to defend that shot. You know, she knows what she's good at. She's very well coached. They've done a nice job developing her as well, but she knows she can knock down that mid-range jump shot. And when you put the ball on the floor to your left and you step back a couple times and create space for yourself at 5'7", that's a tough cover, you know, and they were pretty good yesterday running some ball screen action for her, and we weren't very good defending it, and she got to her comfort zone, which is that mid-range shot. And, you know, like you said, you know, in this game, men's, women's, college, NBA, you know what you're good at, and when you can find a way to get yourself to that spot, you're going to do damage. And I thought that's what Megan did for Emily yesterday and what Emily did for herself in finding those looks.
You know, so I always say sometimes it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And, you know, certainly Emily was ready to play yesterday because she came.
We got to cool her off when we see her next month somehow. Absolutely.
Yeah. But the other thing is you caught a little bit of a break. And I know, you know, you're the type of guy that can, can admit to this. The kid, Caitlin Lewis, who came in, I think, leading the country in three-point percentage, went 1 for 6 from three. And she did have, you know, several, you know, good looks that just didn't fall for us. So certainly, you know, as coaches, we feel like we catch a break when legitimate shooters get open looks and didn't make it that way. But, you know, you referenced after the game, and one of the things that, again, impressed me about you was just how much legitimate credit you gave to American and how you said for about 38 minutes, you know, they really deserved to win the game. And, you know, I felt the same way. I thought they did everything they needed to do you know, to win the game. And it was one of those deals where you guys wrestled victory away from the jaws of defeat. You know, you kind of just took it, and they weren't able to make one or two more plays that would have, you know, obviously got it done for them. But, again, you know, I know Coach Gebbia from her time at Marist under Brian Georges, and, you know, she certainly has done a terrific job there. But that was a terrific performance for them, especially for about 38 minutes on the road against a winning program. And, you know, and again, especially led by the performance of Kinniston. But it certainly sounds like you guys have had a couple wars with them in the past, and certainly yesterday lived up to that as well.
No, absolutely. You know, and we had the misfortune of playing them three times last year, and we were able to come away in all three. But all three of them, you know, were games that we very easily could have lost. I think one of those was an overtime game, and the other one they had a double-digit lead. You know, and a little bit yesterday too. You said you watched the whole game. At what point did you think Bucknell was going to win that game? You know, I don't think there's a whole lot of people in the stands that had a whole lot of confidence in us finding a way to pull it out. You know, some of that was some luck.
I'll tell you the point, Coach, is when DeBoer hit that three in overtime that gave you the six.
Yeah.
That was probably
right,
it.
Right. Otherwise, the 42 minutes before that, it was either anybody's game or you kind of had to put your money on American. And, you know, but I credit to our players. And granted, American did a lot of things really well. We're going to have to change some things the next time that we see them. You know, but the credit I'll give to our players is they just find ways to win these close games. You know, I think we were 6-0 in our last six overtime games. I mean, some of that's some luck. Don't get me wrong. You know, but you know, we were 17-1 in our league last year, and so was Army. Army got to 17-1 a lot differently than we did. You know, they had I don't think they, outside of our two games, I don't think there was a whole lot of close games. We had a ton of close games last year. So I think we're seasoned in a good way. You know, like every coach, you want more blowouts than you do close games. But I think it's a seasoned group. You know, we had to make a shot in the last 40 seconds down one against Navy last game or two games ago, just like we did last night against American. And there was never a doubt in our kids' mind. There was never a pep talk I had to give them. They knew what they had to do. They went out, they executed, and, you know, again, there's some good luck involved with that too, but I think that's also some good execution and some good toughness by our group.
No, Clint, I'm literally only going to keep you for another minute or so because I know you do have to run to practice, and you've already given us 40 minutes. God bless you. But, you know, I know there was a distinguishable note during the game mentioned, you know, about your distinguishable record with five points or less, you know, games. And, you know, again, you spoke, you know, to some luck, but it also speaks to quality coaching and competitive kids that just go get it and get those close wins. And so certainly it's a winning program for sure in every way, including winning close games. And, you know, just an impressive team, an impressive program, and really was a very, very stimulating game yesterday from two teams that, you know, are very, very good programs, especially at the mid-major level. But, you know, wanted to say that, you know, congratulations again. You also, you know, the game before snapped, you know, the home winning streak at Army with a big win, road win there. And then looks like 18 now home games in a row that you've won there at the Stoico Pavilion.
There's been some squeakers, but yeah, we found a way there. And, you know, obviously we're back home. I front loaded with some home games. We're back home again against Holy Cross on Sunday. And obviously we've got to focus on getting that next one there.
Yeah, and you said you might not be able to do education day every day, but you might want to get the girl. I remember telling my kids when I was like, can you please go door to door in the local community and get more people to the scene? But anyway, before I let you go, I had to tell you, you know, certainly just want to highlight real quick your recruiting class, you know, and it looks like another terrific class. And I got a chance to specifically see Auden Seppi over the summer, and I just absolutely loved that forward. I kind of compared her to the kid up at UConn, my girl, Nafisia Collier. I compared it to like a mid-major version of her, just how hard she worked and just, you know, how kind of productive she was up and down the lane and on the backboards and defending and all that. And I got to see Abby Kemp online in her big recent high school event and was impressed with her at 6 feet with her shooting and perimeter abilities. And then you also added Tessa Brugler and Allie Johnson as well from Pennsylvania. But congratulations on that recruiting class, and I specifically got to see Cap and Steppy for sure and really like those players.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think one thing I really like about this class is, you know, I think the, you know, whether it's recruiting gurus or former coaches or current coaches, I think, you know, they've said something nice about our recruiting class, and lo and behold, I feel like every one of them loves a different kid. You know, everyone, that's your best one. I think I've had coaches tell me that each of those four is our best recruit. You know, so I think it's a balanced class. I think it's what we need, and I think they fit our style. And I think the more and more that I'm at this level, the more, you know, my assistants keep reminding me that too, that, you know, it's not always so much the scorer or the stud player at that level. It's making sure she fits in your system, fits in your culture. And, you know, so that is important. You know, I think these are all kids. You all love them. You love all of them right now because they haven't made any mistakes in your system yet. So,
exactly.
You know, but no, they're a great group, and obviously we're going to be losing a really, really good class with the seniors, with these seniors here. But hopefully we can, hate to say reload, but hopefully we can kind of supplement the rest of the returners with that group next year.
Well, and just lastly, like, you know, I just referenced a UConn player, but as they've certainly proven, they can do the big deal, and you touched upon it earlier, is developing players. And, you know, so many coaches across the country, they're so worried about getting, you know, these recruiting types or former players. You got to develop players. You absolutely have to be able to develop players and have teachers that none of these kids have finished products. And so certainly it very much appears that you guys do a terrific job of that at Bucknell, and certainly it's a quality class that you now have to work with. But Coach Aaron Roussel from Bucknell, can't thank you enough. You basically gave me 45 minutes here with replay today, the day after win. I certainly know you're busy, and you have a game against Holy Cross on Sunday that you got to prepare for. Can't thank you enough. Was absolutely impressed with you and your program. The couple games I've watched it in full this year, and then having you on, you know, as a guest today, you know, certainly lived up to the expectations as well. A terrific spot. Can't wait to have you on again moving forward.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime. I enjoyed this, and I do appreciate what you're doing, you know, to kind of give some exposure to our game, and, you know, whether it's on Twitter or on this podcast. Really appreciate what you're doing, and I think our kids probably appreciate what you did here for 45 minutes. You just told me all the great things about our team, and, you know, I'm about to run down here in about 10 minutes and go tell them all the things that they're not good at. You know, so maybe you've softened me up a little bit, and you know, they should appreciate that.
Yeah, timing is everything. No problem. But take care. Thanks so much again, and good luck against Holy Cross on Sunday.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Coach. We'll be in touch.
All right, bye. Aaron. All right, fans. There is Aaron Roussel, the head coach at Bucknell. I thought just a terrific spot. Again, clearly, you know, a well-spoken, insightful coach that really gives you terrific insight and honesty about his team and any other team, too. I was very impressed with how just candid and honest he was about the, you know, the play of American, and how, like he said, you know, they basically deserved to win for 38 minutes, but his team just found a way again, as they have a penchant for doing in close games and overtime games. And honestly, I tend to be picky about women's basketball and some of the products, some of the games, but was just very, very much enjoyed the game yesterday, the matinee game, the education day at Bucknell, between American, Coach Gebbia's team, and also Coach Roussel and his girls at Bucknell. Terrific game and very exciting. You know, went down the stretch, went into overtime, and just, you know, some great back-and-forth play, some good team play, good execution, and certainly some talented kids. You know, again, mid-major women's basketball overall continues to get better, but specifically mid-major basketball, you're seeing, you know, front courts with the size of some mid-major. You're seeing six-foot guards out there, and just seeing some girls who can really make some plays and make some shots. So, again, if you haven't had the chance yet, you certainly want to try and take the opportunity to follow Bucknell women's basketball for the rest of the year. They're the preseason pick to win the Patriot. They're off to the 3-0 start. They have Claire DeBoer, the preseason player of the year in the Patriot pick, two-time All-Patriot players. So they definitely have some players. And again, you know, Coach Roussel really does a nice, nice job coaching that team. They are organized. They play team basketball. They reverse the ball. They pass it. They're spaced. They're efficient with interior play and perimeter play. Just a well-coached team, and like I've said, you know, I've had, you know, Doug Bruno, Gary Blair, and some really esteemed, established coaches in women's basketball on my podcast, but guys like, you know, Aaron Roussel are the next wave, and the potential next Doug Bruno, and, you know, Gary Blair is just a terrific, terrific coach from everything I've seen so far, and look forward to following and watching more full games of Bucknell moving forward. But With that said, you know, we're about 50 minutes into this edition of Replay, and what I'm going to look to do is try and just go a little recap of some of the other games that happened across women's basketball yesterday, distinguishable games, and, you know, one of them certainly was that that Bucknell win, overtime win over American, two of the you know, really good teams in the Patriot League mid-major level. But Charlotte, another mid-major team that had a big win yesterday was Charlotte University under Kara Consuega, and they got their 8th straight win to move to 11-3. And they also had an overtime win against Western Kentucky, and Coach Clark Hurd, who I'm very a big fan of her at Western Kentucky, and they were at home with Charlotte, but they pulled off the big 89-85 overtime win. So certainly a lot of points scored there in that one, and had to be stimulating for fans to watch. But big win for Charlotte as they now again go to 11-3, 8 straight wins, and 3-0 in the Conference USA, and certainly look like they're going to be a major contender for that championship, the Conference USA Women's Basketball Championship. And they were led by 5'9 sophomore guard Grace Hunter with 0.7 rebounds, 13 for 24 from the field, 3-3 from the three-point line, played 36 minutes. So congratulations to Grace Hunter on a big performance leading Charlotte to the overtime win over Western Kentucky. All right, and then you had Marist, a program who had long reigned in the MAC conference under Coach Brian Georges, and they, you know, struggled the last couple of years, and a little bit off to a tough start to begin this year, but have gotten it going of late, and they get an 85-74 road win at Canisius, and as someone who's coached in that conference, that's never an easy win for sure up at Canisius, up there in the Buffalo area, but they get 5 players in double figures. And that's a typical Marist type of performance under Coach George. But Maura Fitzpatrick, you know, led everybody in that game. And Maura was, just terrific. 28 points, 9 of 14. Maura's a 5'11 sophomore guard, by the way. Maura Fitzpatrick for Marist. 28 points, 9 of 14 from the field, 6 of 9 from the three-point line, and played 38 minutes. So congratulations to Maura Fitzpatrick, the 5'11 sophomore guard, leading the Marist Lady Foxes to a road win over Canisius, 85-74. You also had Quinnipiac, another MAC team, under Trish Sackett-Fabry. They had a 71-64 road win at Niagara. They were obviously up in the Buffalo area, up in the upper New York area as well, and they now go to 12-3 and 5-0. Is Quinnipiac. And I tell you, I got a chance to watch them a couple weeks earlier out in an event around Christmas time at an event in Las Vegas where there were some heavyweights there, you know, in Oklahoma and UNLV for sure, and Oregon State wound up winning it. But I got to tell you, this Quinnipiac team gave Oregon State all they wanted. They gave UNLV. They gave people, you know, high major programs all they wanted, and they really have a gritty, tough team, especially in the backcourt, loves the toughness and the moxie of their backcourt. Yesterday, they were led by 6-foot sophomore forward Paula Stroutmane, and she had 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 for 13 from the field. So 6-foot sophomore forward Paula Stroutmane led Quinnipiac to that 71-64 win. Again, Quinnipiac now 12-3, 5-0 in the MAC, and they have been, you know, a top dog in that conference the last 2 to 4 years. So, again, looking like they will be again this year. Big wins out there were Miami on the cross of women's basketball ACC version. Miami with the big road win over NC State. And, NC State was leading at the, you know, in the first quarter. And NC State, as most people by now know, had some big, big wins of late. Notre Dame, Florida State, you know, big-time top 10 type wins. And, just really looking like, you know, a new contender in the ACC. They've been emerging for the last couple of years under Wes Moore. But, they fall at home to Miami, who had a big second quarter to take control of the game and held on through the second quarter in a late rally by the by the Wolfpack there, and so Miami gets the big road win on against NC State. So a great job, great win for Coach Katie Meyer and the Lady Hurricanes. Okay, and so just moving forward, and you know, just Kiana Hayes led all scorers with 12 points, you know, at the half, and she went on to lead the team for the game as well. But as I just scroll through real quickly, yeah, just give me a little bit of patience here as I just scroll through some of my notes. But so again, big win for Miami down there at, you know, top 25 team for, as well, but big win at NC State. Notre Dame continued, you know, to do what they do for the most part, but they had a 92-72 win at home against Wake Forest. They now go to 14-2. They were led by 5'9 sophomore guard Arike Ogunbowale, 22 points, 4 assists, 8 of 11 from the field, 4 of 5 from the 3-point line, and Arike was shooting 39% from the behind the arc coming into the game, and then now, you know, with the 4 for 5 last night, and then she just was already a load to deal with coming into the year off the bounce with her pull-up game, such a physical guard who they also post up at times and love when they do that, but she now really has the 3-point stroke, you know, worked out and solidified now pretty much 3 months into this season, looking terrific now, over 40% from 3-point line. And, you know, again, they had a really big high octane offense going yesterday, 92-72 win against Wake Forest, and, you know, knocking down threes for sure. But Coach McGraw talked about it after the game. I saw a press conference that, you know, they gave up 10 threes to Wake Forest, and it's been a prevailing problem for them, specifically in the last few games. You know, successive games, they've given up 8 threes, 9 threes, and now 10 threes. And so certainly, and they have just, you know, for me, the first couple months, they have just not seen up to the standard of Notre Dame in terms of overall execution, sharing the ball. Certainly saw it in the UConn game, and you know, so Coach certainly was very pleased to get back home and have such a fluid, explosive offensive performance yesterday, Coach McGraw and Notre Dame. But she's looking now to tighten up on the defensive end, as they are obviously getting burned from the three-point line of late. But moving forward, some other games you had. South Carolina was just a big blowout win for the most part against Auburn. They controlled that game big pretty much from the outset. They had a big first quarter led by Kayla Davis. And Kayla, who I'll mention her output in a minute, but they actually got a big performance from 5'6 junior point guard Bianca Cuevas Moore, New York native here from my area up here in New York. But they now go to 12-1, the number 5 team in the country. And Cuevas Moore gave them 19.7 assists. You know, she was 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 6 from the 3-point line. And that's certainly been an area where she's been skittish in the past with that and turnovers. But she, Bianca Cuevas Moore, with the big game from behind New York, drops 19 points for the Gamecocks. And then the aforementioned Kayla Davis, the 6'2". Junior wing, the transfer from Georgia Tech, had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 8 of 18 from the field, but 5 of 9 from the 3-point line. And she had a majority of that production in the first half, in the first quarter, to get South Carolina off to a big start. So they get the 73-57 win over Auburn and as they move forward now. Congratulations to them. Texas A&M had a tough loss, but a big win for Georgia as Georgia goes on the takes out Texas A&M, who have been playing pretty well of late with some big wins, and they get the 69-59 win at home. So congratulations to Coach Joni Taylor and getting that big win. They sure needed that over you know, a quality program like Texas A&M, who have been playing well of late. So congratulations to them. You know, I mentioned that Miami win, but they were led by Kiana Hayes, the 6'1 senior forward, with 18 points, 10 rebounds, 8 for 13 from the field. She averaged 8-6 coming in, so she certainly stepped up in a huge road game for the Lady Hurricanes, who now go to 13-2, ranked number 14 in this week's polls. Congratulations to Kiana Hayes on the big game. Louisville, I watched the second half of this game specifically, and they had a big road win at Virginia, who has really, you know, upgraded this year, had a couple of big wins early in the year and gave, you know, they were leading at halftime, Virginia, and really a huge third quarter from Louisville and Coach Walls and his girls got them back into the game. But they were down, you know, 14-16, you know, midway through the third quarter and, you know, really came storming back and pretty much had it, you know, almost within even quarter. And then both teams go toe-to-toe. Toussaint, the freshman from up here, the Christ the King alumnus, hit a three to tie the game at the end of regulation, literally at the buzzer, and sent it into overtime. But Louisville gets the 86-81 overtime road win against Virginia, who has really taken things to another level, especially on the defensive end under Coach Joanne Boyle. And they certainly are a lot more formidable this year than maybe the last couple of years, and specifically what they seem to be doing defensively. Now, you can't necessarily go by the 86 overtime, 86-81 overtime score, but they've been doing a lot better job on the defensive end this year coming into the game and certainly in the first half against Louisville as they had held them down. But Louisville now goes to 14-3. There's another 18 in this week's poll, and they were led by 6'2". Junior forward Maisha Hines-Allen, who is just a beast most games inside. And she had, check this out, 31 points, 17 rebounds from Maisha Hines-Allen with those 31 points, 12 of 24 from the field. So certainly efficient for her, high-volume field goal attempts, and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So just an All-America performance for sure out of Maisha Hines-Allen, who actually fouled out in overtime. Mariah Moore fouled out in overtime. So Louisville had to finish this game with their two best players, you know, on the bench, but they gutted it out and get the 86-81 comeback overtime win. And Asia, they did it with Asia Dorr, their you know, their highly acclaimed recruit and sophomore guard, kind of struggling for most of the game from the perimeter, but a big win for Coach Walls as they bounced back from a tough loss. You know, prior with a big overtime road win at Virginia. You had Duke, the Lady Blue Devils under Coach Joanne P. McCallie, you know, again rolling forward in a big bounce back year for them, but they get the 75-68 road win over Georgia Tech. So congratulations to Coach McCallie. I believe they are now, you know, 14-1, and I'll verify that here in a second as I roll through their leading scorer, which was Lexi Brown, and her numbers. But congratulations to Duke with the road win over Georgia Tech. As you know, again, Duke with the, again that aforementioned tough loss for Louisville was down indoor at Cameron Indoor against Duke. So Duke has had that big win. They also had the huge win against South Carolina a couple weeks prior to that. So again, just a huge bounce back season so far for Coach McCallie and the Lady Devils. Again, they did not make the NC tournament last year and had a tumultuous offseason, losing a couple of big players, including Azaree Stevens, the 6'6", you know, All-America caliber forward who transferred to UConn, and Angela Salvadoris, the prize freshman, went back to Spain to play professionally. So they had a tough offseason. There was a lot of scrutiny, but Coach McCallie and the girls and the Duke Lady women's basketball program certainly bouncing back strong here in 2016-17, and I'll get to that that game a little more in depth here in a minute. But Florida State had a big win. They get a big road win at UNC, 90-77. Certainly UNC didn't play too much defense in that game, as Florida State certainly known for their defense, and they do have some offensive capability for sure, but 90 points. You know, giving up 90 at home, it certainly speaks to the defense that UNC was playing in that game. But Florida State, nonetheless, the number 6 team in the polls coming in, and they had had that last loss was tough against the aforementioned Wolfpack of NC State. But they go to 14-2, and they were led in the game by 5'9 junior guard Amani Wright. She had 22 points, 5 rebounds, 9 of 16 from the field, 3 of 7 from behind the arc. So congratulations to Sue Semrau and the girls for the road win up at UNC in Chapel Hill. And again, they go to 14-2 now. Getting back to Duke, again, I mentioned Lexi Brown being the leading scorer. And again, Duke is now 14-1, the 13th ranked team in the country. this week. 5'9 junior Lexi Brown, the transfer from Maryland. She had 25.7 steals, 4 assists, 9 of 17 from the field, 3 of 5 from the three-point line, 37 minutes played. What an incredible performance from Lexi Brown in the backcourt. The 25 points, both ends, 7 steals. I mean, 7 steals is a huge game on the defensive end. 4 assists, and 9 of 17, shooting over 50% from the field, 3 of 5 from the line, and then also played, you know, just adorable 37 minutes. So the duo of Greenwell and Lexi Brown, they call themselves the Splash Sisters, certainly, you know, leading the way for the 14-1 Duke Blue Devils. Terrific perimeter combination they have turned out to be. And Duke certainly has the size and depth up front as well. Moving forward, you also had Mississippi State with another big win. They get the road win at Arkansas, 59-51. Vic Schaefer's crew, and they can remain undefeated there in the SEC. I'll get to them a little bit more in-depth in a minute. But you have Kentucky with a win, the number 25 team in this year's poll, in 10-5. Michaela Epps, the 5'10 senior guard, 17 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 7 for 18 from the field, 2 of 4 from the three-point line. So Coach Mitchell and the girls get the win against Missouri at home as they move forward now 10-5. Mississippi State, who I just talked about, I'm sorry, Mississippi State, and I'm under Vic Schaefer. Again, they were led by 6'5 senior center Chinwe Okori, 14 points, 15 boards, 7 of 15 from the field. She came into the game averaging 10-6. And so she has the huge double-double with the 14 points and 15 rebounds as Mississippi State now moves to 16-0, and then they are the number 4 team in the country as they had the 59-51 road win over Arkansas. So Vic Schaefer and company, again, known for their defense, you know, just continue to impress and to continue to emerge as one of the country's elite. Certainly, they established themselves last year, and again, now off to a 16-0 start and getting things rolling here just, you know, early in the SEC season. So, Vic Schaefer and Mississippi State, 16-0, number 4 in the country, 59-51 road win over Arkansas. You had LSU under Nikki Fargus. Again, this is a little bit of a breakout year for them as they get a 78-67 win over Florida. South Florida continues to struggle and be reeling after the loss of, I believe it's Stepanaki, I might be mispronouncing the last name, of the 6-foot wing who left the program about 3 weeks ago and now apparently since has transferred to Maryland and Coach Brenda Freeze, but they have been spiraling and it's been tough for them to stabilize after losing such a they were not overly deep to begin with, and then they lose a do-it-all kind of small forward in this Christina Stefanaki. So that was certainly, you know, a really big blow to the program, and they have had a tough time of it since. But LSU, on the other hand, again, with the 78-67 win against Florida, home win against Florida, they go to 12-3. They were led by 5'9 sophomore guard Chloe Jackson. How about this? 34 points, 5 assists, 4 steals, 15 of 24, 24 attempts, but certainly efficient with them shooting a high percentage with the 15 makes, 15 of 24 from the field, 2 of 5 from the three-point line. So talk about a breakout performance for sophomore guard Chloe Jackson. Congratulations to her and to Nikki Fargus as, again, they move forward with it and now go to 12-3 on the season. You had a big win for, in staying in the SEC, Alabama. And Coach and the Lady Crimson Tide under Coach Christy Curry moved to 13-2 with the 90-80 home win over Ole Miss, a program that had been off to a really good start this year under Coach Intel. And but they were led by 5'8 junior guard Mio Shante Wright Knight. 5'9 junior guard Mio Shante Knight, 29 points, 8 of 11 from the field. How about this? 11 for 14 from the free throw line. 2 for 3 from the three-point line. Mia Shanti Knight was averaging 13 coming in, but has 29 big points to lead Alabama over Ole Miss down there. And just a big win for Coach Curry and the girls as they get, I think that's one of the rare home wins they've had there, in the SEC home wins they've had there. Again, a program that she is trying to build up, and they certainly are off to the good start, 13-2, and a big win against Ole Miss, 90-80. Certainly a stimulating game with the 90-80 score there. Moving forward, you had I mentioned, you know, the Gamecocks. Just some other notes from them in their win over Auburn, road win, the 73-47 win. You had, you know, Kaylor Davis with 21, the Quavis Moore with 19, as I mentioned. You had Asia Wilson with 11. Elena Coates had 11 boards also for Elena Coates. And then in the assist column, you had Quavis Moore, the aforementioned 7 assists. And then you also had Denija Kleine with 6 assists as well. Transferring to the ACC, back to the ACC, you had Syracuse with an 82-62 road win over Clemson. 5-17. They now moved to 11-5. 5-7 senior guard Alexis Peterson has had kind of an All-America caliber year, at least statistically. 29 points, both ends of the floor, impact point guard. 21 points, 11 assists, 5 steals, 9 of 20 from the field, 3 of 8 from the three-point line. Alexis Peterson has been doing that kind of thing all year for Syracuse and had another big, big game last night, leading the Lady Orange over to the road win, 82-62 road win at Clemson. 21 points, 11 assists, 5 steals for Alexis Peterson. Just scrolling back, I got a chance to watch this game last night. Tennessee with the 70-57 road win at Vanderbilt, and they now move to 10-4, and they have won a few in a row and seem to have things certainly on the uptick. But the Lady Vols, again, with another big road win, certainly against their little in-state rival there in Vanderbilt under first-year coach Stephanie White, the former Purdue All-American and the former WNBA head coach. But the Lady Vols are led by 6'6 junior center Mercedes Russell, dominant on both ends. She had 15 points on only 4 of 8 field goal attempts and 4 of 8 shooting, 7 of 11 from the free throw line. She also had 13 rebounds and 6 blocks. So just a dominant two-way performance from 6'6 junior Mercedes Russell, who is the player of the year coming out of high school, and it's certainly, now that she's healthy, living up to that kind of claim and expectations. And again, they don't get her the ball much. She only had 8 field goal attempts for a dominant post player, but she was 4 of 8, 7 of 11 from the free throw line. And again, 15 points, 13 boards, 6 blocks from Mercedes Russell. Congratulations to Coach Holly Woolick and the Lady Vols for the road win over Vanderbilt. A couple other games, a little bit back to the mid-major landscape. You had Gonzaga with the 61-46 win against USF San Francisco. You had BYU with the 70-65 win against St. Mary's. They held St. Mary's off down the stretch. They now go to 8-6, and that's a talented, especially their starting 5 BYU team. But they were led by 6'2 senior forward, versatile forward, very versatile forward, Kehlani Purcell. And she had came within a hair of a triple-double, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, 8 of 10 from the field, played 40 minutes. Kehlani Purcell, the 6'2 senior versatile forward for BYU. Again, 18 points, 12 boards, 9 assists for Kehlani Purcell. You know, I mentioned that Gonzaga win. They won 61-46 over San Francisco. They now go to 10-4. They were led by a 6'2 senior forward, Kiara Coudron. Kiara had 14 points, 11 boards, 3 assists, 6 of 8 from the field. She's averaging 11-8 coming into the game. You had a little mid-major and out west thing, which you had 84-64 win for Pacific as they take down San Diego, and they now go to 3-0 in the W and West Coast Conference. So congratulations to Pacific. Great start for them, 84-64 win over San Diego. So, you know, again, those are just some of the games just to give you, I know Texas, so just some of the games to get you caught up on in the coastal landscape of women's basketball here at Replay. But going to look to wrap it up. We've gone for about an hour and 15 minutes here, and again led by the 45-minute spot of Coach Aaron Roussel, the head coach at Bucknell, as we talked about specifically last night, yesterday's matinee win over American in overtime, a comeback overtime win over American. And, they now go to 3-0 in the Patriot League, 11-3 overall. And, again, they had a preseason pick to win the Patriot League. But, just a terrific mid-major program, a winning program, 25 wins last year. They have the preseason Patriot Player of the Year in Claire DeBoer. They have a terrific front court in Slagis and Swart. And, a couple of 6'2", 6'3", kids that they're really talented. And Slagis has been putting up double-doubles, seemed like routinely through the first couple months, and she also came into the game shooting 40% from the three-point line. They also have, an emerging point guard in Kai English, made some huge plays and shots in that comeback, especially in the second half. They have the aforementioned Claire DeBoer, the 6'1 senior forward, playing now a little bit more of a versatile forward, out on the perimeter as well, but two-time, Patriot first-team player. They have the McGurk kid, who's a terrific player. They have Kate, a nice role player, out on the perimeter with some size. And Kate Walker is a wing who's, 7 for 31 from the three-point line in her last nine games, and also had a couple of, tough drives as well. So just a very intriguing, well-coached, very sincere about that, very well-coached, very intriguing Bucknell team that moves forward here in the Patriot, and they play Holy Cross on Sunday. But can't thank Coach Roussel enough for the 45-minute spot, probably certainly about 15 minutes longer than ideal, but he was such a good spot and had some time that we went lengthy with him. But, just a terrific coach, young coach. He was emerging on the Division I landscape, what he's doing there at Bucknell. And when you watch their product, you come away impressed. And certainly he was impressive in the audio interview, talking about his team, talking about the game. And, really hopefully we'll have him on a couple more times at least moving through this season. So thankful to everyone who tuned in, either live or certainly through the archive broadcast, as we're back at it again with the replay podcast here coming off the new year. Again, happy new year to everyone out there. Hopefully a safe and healthy and productive 2017 for everyone. But we're going to continue to trudge forward and plug along, looking to promote women's basketball here, not only with the replay podcast, that focus on distinguishable gains and wins from the previous 24 and 48 hours across the landscape of women's basketball, but also with my Ladies Night podcast that we have about once a week, where I'm joined by Brett McCormick, specifically every show, and we go over the landscape of high school girls basketball across the country with top events, talking about top players, commitments across the country. Brett McCormick, certainly an elite recruiting analyst and, true blessing for women's basketball, always helps us out there. So look for that early next week, the next Ladies Night podcast. Usually those are at night, about 8 o'clock Eastern time. So, again, thankful to all the hardcore fans of women's basketball for tuning in and supporting my podcast. Keep watching. Keep following and supporting girls basketball, women's basketball. Have a great weekend. Take care, everybody. Coach Bill signing off from New York. Hey, gang, gang.